Hey, everyone, it's Gina DeVee, and welcome to our very special joint venture training call on my seven-figure launch secrets that I in no way intend to be secret. I am really basking in gratitude and abundance and feeling very fulfilled, and yet, you know, normally I get like really excited about this sort of thing, and I think that this was one of those manifestations that came about in such a big and beautiful and relatively easy way that it just feels so natural, and there's an of course element to it. And so it would always, quite frankly, totally annoy me when people would talk about this, like, or they'd say, like, oh, once they met, crossed their seven figures, that, you know, but that wasn't the most important thing about it. And wherever you are at on your journey, whether you are, you know, just getting started, or you're looking to go from six figures to multiple six figures, or you've already crossed seven figures even, it is a real joy and blessing to be here with you today in the spirit of, if you're here, you probably have or the same desires that I had, which was I desired to have a seven or close to a multiple seven-figure launch. And at this point in my career, and by the way, no matter where you're at, you can apply what I'm about to share here today for you to go to the next level. So you will use and tweak and adjust for whatever's appropriate for you and your personality style. To share with you where it really all began for me is that it started with an awareness. It started with a dream. And I'm going to be backing up and sharing with you a bit about that dream and all of the metaphysical and the miraculous pieces that I used to create this result and this manifestation, and all of the practical, tangible, nuts and bolts stuff that I used to have it be a success, and then the mistakes that I made along the way. So I'm going to share with you all the stuff that didn't work and everything that did as well. So I just want to begin by you allowing yourself to be in this place of awareness that absolutely you can achieve absolutely anything you desire. And everything that you are looking to call for is achievable. And I think that that's so much of what we forget in our path and in our discovery of moving forward. So I'm going to start with a prayer, and then we're going to jump right in. I'm going to share with you my step-by-step process. So, dear God, we come before you today, and we pray a very special prayer and blessing over the businesses of each person listening. And we know that you have called each of us for a royal and important purpose. And God, I pray that everybody here would be used fully, that their purpose and their destiny would also be fulfilled and would be fulfilled with prosperity and financial abundance and guidance and divine inspiration. Let us each be a light in the world as we are meant to be at our fullest capacity in every way. And we pray this believing. Amen. All righty, so I'm going to dive right in and share with you how this all really happened and where it actually started from. And where it actually started from was divine inspiration. And I had come out of 2012 was a very challenging year for me. I had created quantum leaps and a certain level of success and abundance each year. And that year, it was like something universally put me and my business on pause. And it really shook me to my core. It was very humbling, and I wasn't sure exactly what it meant. But one thing for me, and one thing I've always been very grateful of, is that I know that I do have a purpose and that God is with me every step of the way. And so at the beginning of 2013, I started to get a renewed energy after that sort of year of being on pause. So one of the things I want to say is that me looking at where I was at this time last year, it's not like my whole career has been like this major building piece. There were like major building pieces, and then there was like not a plateau. There was actually a dip. I had gone backwards in terms of clients and revenue and income and all of that. So I was coming into the beginning of 2013, and one of the great things that what being humbled does for us, at least what it did for me, is it had me really surrendered. And I was driving along the ocean, and I was praying. And I, from a very surrendered, not desperate, not anxiety-ridden, and not even, like, highly focused and fully intentional place, I just said, God, what is 2013 about for me? How would you have me serve? How would you have me be used? And I immediately got coaching certification program. Now, that was not in my hopper. That was not in my intention. I hadn't been thought about that for years. I knew it's something I could do, but it wasn't anything I had been, like, pining away for. And so I was like, wow. And rather than really even think it through, I just said yes. And I accepted the call. And in a really sort of non-attached way, I just said yes. And so I felt the magnitude. I felt the bigness of it. So this is probably something you can relate to in your own life with your own programs. Like, you can feel the big impact that you're meant to have. And so in feeling into the bigness of it, I was really clear that this was beyond me being a solopreneur. So this was about me going even bigger. And so I was like, all right, well, I need to hire, like, a virtual assistant to help me put the packets together, and because that's, like, a lot of curriculum and this and that. And the more I thought about it, I was like, well, how, like, virtual assistants, even the smartest and most, you know, seasoned ones, they don't really know about, like, coaching content. And then I was like, well, maybe I shouldn't then pay a virtual assistant. Maybe I should pay, like, you know, an aspiring coach who wants to learn this stuff. And so then I was like, okay, I could get a coach to come in. And I was like, well, then they should pay me, like, if I'm going to teach them all the stuff about coaching and et cetera, et cetera. And so then, so I asked them, I'm like, how is this meant to happen? And that's when I got the divine download apprenticeship and just totally clear the slates and make it open for, I'm not going to pay a virtual assistant, and a coaching person isn't going to pay me. I'm going to open up an apprenticeship where I would teach what I have learned over my past 15 years of being a psychotherapist, a coach, a business owner, and the apprentice would learn with me and then in turn help me with the putting together of the materials. So, of course, I thought that was going to be one or two people. As, you know, over 100 applications came in like, the first 24 hours, I realized it was really an apprenticeship group. And so that was the next level of support that came in. So take notes all along with what I'm about to share here with you, is that your purpose is meant to be supported. And I had never thought about an apprenticeship group. And so also, by the way, I'm going to be taking questions at the end of this call here. So if you've got questions about how this can work for you, stay tuned. So the apprenticeship came in, and it was very easy. I just happened to have a photo shoot already scheduled. We took some pictures. I created a very simple video explaining some of what I've just shared here today. And if you'd like to apply, here's the web form to fill in below. And there wasn't a lot of drama around it. So all the applications came in. We selected the apprenticeship group, and then I had them together at a retreat, and we started to create what I intended to be in this program. And then I asked, dear God, how many people are meant to be in this coaching certification program? Because as you get, like, sometimes we can just so underreach and we're like, oh, I can't even imagine people signing up for this. I'd be lucky to get 10 people. And then other times we're like, I'll take 10,000. There's that many people in the world who need this stuff. And we can go too big or too small. And so my strategy, if you will, or more of a technique of being in alignment, is to ask, how many people is this for? And I got very clearly 200 done. And I remember telling telling some of my friends and colleagues, about what I was working on. They're like, Tina, you can get more than that, and so-and-so's doing this, and so-and-so's doing that, and you can do bigger numbers. And I listened to the divine guidance. And whether, there's a lot of ways to make money. And doing something and doing it really well, and, I didn't know at that point if I could barely get 50 people or if I could have gotten 2,000 people. But what I did know for sure is that I asked how many people I meant to be in this program, and I got 200. And so in that, I was very confident and very rest assured in that's what we were working for and that's who I was making myself available for. And so the way that I also know that I like to work is that I really like a high touch factor. And I, even though I use a lot of internet marketing, et cetera, I'm very low tech, high touch. And some people are more high-tech, low-touch, and neither one is better than another. You just got to know yourself. And so I knew that in the course of a year that I could work with 200 people and certify them and train them and get to know all of them. And that high-touch factor is really important to me. So it's where my passion is. It's where I'm going to be more energized. And that's where my capacity is to serve people really, really well. And so because one of the things I'm sort of known for is speed of implementation, so I get this idea in January, right? And I'm like, we're going to launch this in May or June. And when I started to realize how big of a project this really was, I allowed myself to course correct. And I got that I wasn't going to put myself under unnecessary pressure and stress. I wanted this to be done really well so that we would launch in September, and that we would start the program the following January. So allow yourself to really space out and be in conscious choice about when you're going to be launching programs and how much time you need to do it in a way that you feel really proud of. So this is like, over the spring and summer, I would continue to work with the apprentice group and putting together the materials. And then I hired a JV manager. And funny to call her a JV manager. She's such an important part of our team and a dear, dear person in my life. So anytime I had done launches in the past, either I had handled the affiliate programs, and it looked like I did because it was not my zone of genius to get out affiliate links and all the technical pieces. And then as I got a little further along down the line, with some of my programs, I would hire someone like temporarily, like, hey, I'm doing a launch, and I would hire like a launch manager just for that particular project. And when this particular JV manager came into place, that's actually how it started out. Then something inside of me expanded, and as things lined up, I was able to move myself and her into a place where it was a full-time exclusive situation. And what that really did with inside of me psychologically was it moved me from being a solopreneur to a business owner, like even more. I've evolved in those ways over the years, but this, like, and I've also kind of like ebbed, like gone up and down with it. And there's been stuff where I've had bigger teams and then stuff where it's just been me and Glenn and kind of everywhere in between. And so this time the mindset that I had, and this is really important, is that I, before the money came in and all of that, that I chose to bring on someone on a full-time basis and in a really expansive way as well. And what I did was not only bring on this person full-time, but I created a position that I felt really proud of that was very expansive. And so what I mean by that is that there's a certain monthly retainer in terms of the expertise and experience that this person had. There's a certain percentage of different multiple streams of income and how the income was coming in. That I really got creative with and felt really good with. And I know that sometimes, we're working a lot. We're putting our lifeblood into our work. And, as we do our work, it's no longer 100% profit ratio like it was when we were first life coaches, right? We got our first client, and they paid us $2,000, and it was, 10 coaching sessions. Well, that was basically 100% profit ratio. And it's not like that today. So as your teams grow and expand and your expenses expand, your lifestyle expands, everything adds up. And I've started to see some of my colleagues almost sort of pride themselves, like, oh, yeah, I got this person for this rate. And so I would really recommend to not be cheap with yourself or your team. And there's more than enough money in the world. And so I was positioning myself to not only achieve the results of having basically a multiple seven-figure launch, but who is the person that I chose to be and have those numbers go on? So anyways, I brought on this JV manager, and we created a really cool arrangement that both of us love and feel really great about, and that was another place of expansion that set in. And again, it's really important to keep in mind that it's typically required for us to expand and invest before the money comes in, right? It's so much what we teach our clients when they're hiring us to be the coach, and same thing as you're building a team. Now, keep in mind, at this point, Glenn and I had scaled things down to, it was me and Glenn. I'm trying to remember if there was anyone else. We had, a VA who did, project work for us, when I needed something technical like that. But don't think that I'm, over here Oprah-ing it all the way. It was me and Glenn, and now I had my JV manager. So I'm adding that salary, and then a totally awesome copywriter came to me. And, my copy is something that I have looked to outsource over the years, and I've actually worked with, not a lot, but I've worked with some other people that I've really enjoyed. But I've always kind of brought it back to me doing it because it's my voice, my relationship, my connection. It just how it kind of works best. Well, this particular person came in, and again, it was another outlay of expense. It was another salary, brought her on to work with me full-time exclusively. But as a business owner, what I was looking at was the amount of time that I was spent writing copy. And so this person came in, and the support that we've chosen is that she starts and drafts the copy, or we collaborate, and she gets it in the template. And there isn't an email that goes out that I don't approve or edit or put my voice into and my heart into. However, that was another really, really valuable player and piece that I needed to be able to. At this time, I was, Glenn and I were traveling in Europe. I was getting ready to go to fashion school. So I was really still maintaining my other life desires and getting this much going. And so the next piece that happened, and this was a real stroke of genius. This was truly a miraculous moment. So we've been working on the apprentices, and I've been working on the content for the coaching certification program, and they weren't as experienced in launch, right? And not that I completely was, to be honest. I haven't taken the courses and the classes and had all the sequences down, and it's not really my interest, to be also perfectly honest. And so what I was putting off and procrastinating was figuring out this launch sequence and everything that I needed to do. And at that point, it didn't dawn on me on what else was possible, because I thought I had to do it. So I put things off to the last minute. We're basically at August here, and we're going to launch in September, and I didn't have a launch even thought about, started, not a script written, not a video shot, not that I ever use scripts, but I thought somehow this was an important launch and that I would need to use a script this time. So I was kind of stressed, but I was on the Isle of Capri, so you can't be that stressed when you're there. And I was mentioning this to Glenn, and he said to me, Gina, you just need to do it in a week and be done with it. And I was like, you don't understand, just do this in a week. You don't launch a multiple seven-figure launch in a week, that didn't. And he's like, get together with the apprentices, all of you get together in a room, get together for a week, knock it out, you'll be fine. And most of the apprentices live on the East Coast of the United States, which, God bless New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina. But this was the end of July, and I was on the Isle of Capri, and I didn't want to go to the East Coast. And I sat there and I thought about the wisdom of what my beautiful, empowered, masculine husband had brought to me. And I thought, what if this were possible? And I said, I'm not lit up about going to the East Coast. And so then I asked myself, where would I be lit up about working with them? And I got Paris. And so then I went to Glenn and I said, what if rather than us flying to the East Coast, what if we fly all of them to Paris and ask them to help me with this and do that? So we flew the apprentices to Paris for 10 days. And, yes, we worked on the launch, but we had so much fun, too. And that's part of what I feel is really important that I want to infuse here in this is that this was not me working away 18 hours a day for a year, slaving away, sacrificing joy, sacrificing living my life. Like I said, I was swimming in an infinity pool on the Isle of Capri and then went to Paris and rented this beautiful apartment in front of the Invalides in the 7th arrondissement, for those of you who know Paris. And anyways, and then all the apprentices showed up. And we had a blast. We worked. We were totally effective. We went to Moulin Rouge. We ate croissants and had cheese plates in the afternoons. And we just had a really great time. And so in terms of us being really super effective, everything was lit up and everything was spot on. And when I was in Paris, I was like totally in my feminine, world-traveling, divine living essence. And so paying attention to the environment that you put yourself in is so, so important. So moving right along, we kind of like mapped out, the apprentices, Glenn and I, mapped out sort of what were the components and what was the content we thought needed to be in the launch sequence. And I was pretty clear that the launch sequence that I chose to do was not going to be I didn't want to do a live event and speak from stage and sell from the stage, but I desired to do a video launch and do it really well so that it would communicate effectively the message to the right people. And like I said, I told you I haven't studied officially launch strategy. I've been around it enough to know that a lot of the greats and really successful people do the standard 4-video sequence and or videos and emails in between, et cetera. And I wasn't really attached to 4 videos or more or less or whatever, and that was another piece that really got me out of the box, is that I wasn't attached to strategy. Now, I think you can always learn from the greats and then apply it to your own life and your own heart and your own spirit. You don't have to get too in the box. And so once I mapped out my message and what I desired to say in these videos, there were 7 videos that were needed, not the standard 4. So we created 7 videos, and they weren't all a certain amount of time. And the first one was 3 minutes, and others were 25 minutes, and some were 15 minutes. I just really created from my heart. And the other piece that was really important to me, and quite frankly, I'm glad to share this transparently. I mean, there's so much comparison that goes on in internet marketing. And Marie Forleo is a dear friend of mine. She's spoken at my events, and we've known each other for years now. And for me personally, to date, the best video launch I had seen was Marie's. And I thought her videos were spectacular, and all of what, you know, Marie Forleo does with B-School and that sort of thing. And the truth is, I'm not Marie, and I'm not selling B-School. And though her videos are so well done and so produced and so Marie, I first and foremost didn't want, because I had seen her stuff, to feel like I was copying anything. And I had to, and I was really challenged about, well, it was the only thing that I knew, if you will. And so in that knowledge of, the best thing I've seen is not something that I'm looking to or even meant to duplicate. So where's my, not voice, because at this point in my life I have my voice down, but where's my video presence and what does that look like? And that's not something that I've spent a lot of time or invested a lot of money on, and so that was a newer territory for me. And so I went into prayer, and I asked, again, and what I knew enough about myself, so the more personal development work you do on yourself, the more you know yourself. I know enough about my style. I knew that I was in Paris. I know what clothes I like to wear and that sort of thing. And I just, I knew that I didn't want something done in a studio, that wasn't me, and I didn't know how it could all work. And so as I started to put the elements together that I did know, then I sent one email to one friend, and I was like, hey, Danny, do you happen to know a video person in Paris that I can work with? And he wrote back, and he said yes. And literally the next week, we were shooting videos. So another thing to really keep in mind is staying with your zone of genius. And whether it's scripting things out and planning things out or speaking from the heart or being in a studio or being in a garden or on a boat or on a plane or whatever your thing is, not that I've ever scripted a thing in my life, but somehow I thought because this video launch was so important that I needed to script things out to make sure that I nailed everything. And Glenn and I would literally argue about it. He's like, Jeannie, you're not scripting things out. I'm like, you don't understand. This is really important, and I need to have a teleprompter and a script. He's like, Gina, you suck with teleprompters. He's like, you start to stare at them. You like, don't speak from the heart. You get bored. And I was like, I'm not boring. Anyways, any of the little temptations that I had to put myself in a box or to be like someone else, just the universe wasn't having it. And so the apprentices and Glenn basically, you know, took a stance that I got no script or no teleprompters. So we went and we had them relatively organized in terms of content and concepts and how many videos were needed. And then we just went and shot the videos. And I just looked into the camera and spoke to the women, whoever they were, who were meant or right for this particular program. So we shot the videos, and they were edited, and all of this then started to go out literally while I was in fashion school. And, again, you don't have to give up on your dreams and your desires. And then what you do need, in addition to if you're going to do a video launch and have video content and have video done really well, is you need to give people a reason to buy and when. And so we're so excited about our stuff, right? And we think that it's like everybody is as excited about it as we are. And though they can be, people have other stuff going on in their lives. People wait till the last minute. People are afraid to invest. All of that, this, that, and the other. And so for me, I know that in my launches, I have to have bonus times to give people a reason to pull the trigger. And so I felt into it again, and again, the sort of standard, let's reach out and ask for a bunch of info products from my friends and stack the bonuses and give out all these extra bonuses if someone signs up at a certain time, it just didn't excite me. And the vibration of this program and the vibration of this launch and being in Paris and having these really beautiful videos done and just who I was in bringing this program out into the world, it just, the frequency didn't vibe with me that the info product bonus stack. And so I sat and I sat with it, and I didn't know what the bonuses should be. But I launched anyways, and I just started, and people started signing up immediately. But I again, some strategy I've found to be useful, and the bonuses are one of them. But I prayed and I prayed, and I didn't pull the trigger, and I didn't say yes until I got what I was thrilled with. And I'm not personally also a fan of the early bird specials and the discounted rates. I've certainly used them over the years, but not for the past number of years. And I feel like when I'm offering something that invites someone to expand, why would I contract my rate? And so I go into a place of additional and expansion. And the expansion that I got this go around was, I thought, and this is what you can do with your own clients as well. It's like, who are your clients and what do they care about and what do they need and what is going to best serve them, what's going to best support them? Well, I know my people and I know my tribe and I know that they love luxury and I know that they also are high-touch, low-tech people and I know that they love being in the same room with me and each other. And so the Academy has 4 live events as part of that program. And so my first bonus was to gift at all 4 live events 2 nights of double occupancy hotel rooms. And to me, that just lit me up. Hey, I'm going to pay for your hotel in L.A., in Paris, in Sydney, in Miami, where we're hosting our live events. And to me, it felt like a really juicy, if someone was excited or looking to pull the trigger sooner, it would be of service to them. They're excited about coming to live events. It just felt chic and boutique, which are the kind of hotels that I do my events in, and I got this full body yes. So I know that we need to tier things and that this wouldn't be the only reason why someone needed to pull the trigger and sign up. So I created out of that two bonuses. And there was a certain date that if they had signed up by, they'd get all four live events, hotel accommodations paid for, and if they signed up by a later date, they would get the first and the last hotel accommodations taken care of. And so they'd get the two events. And so those were bonuses that they worked really well for us. My clients loved it. There was a buzz around the affiliates and the joint venture partners, and we got so many emails of people thanking us for having that luxurious of a hotel bonus. So that was definitely one of the things that worked. We could have had like sign up now and you get four events and then three events and then two events. I like to be more succinct in my marketing and not have too many deadlines or too many calls to action. So I found in sharing what really worked that the three biggest signups were the first hotel bonus, the second hotel bonus, and then the cart closing, meaning when class was actually really starting. That's when we got the most signups. And we also had a fairly decent trickle-in stream of people signing up before, after, and in between. Let me go in and share with you one of the biggest mistakes that we made that I would really like to support you in not making, and one of the biggest messes that happened. Overall, this whole launch was very joyful, very effective. There was tons of flow. My team rocks. And one of the things that we did not keep in mind, I think we had close to 100 affiliate partners. And most of them were my clients or former clients. I mean, some of them were my colleagues. And I'll get into this in a little bit. But if you think that you have to, like, be partnering people that have 200,000 people on your list to create a huge impact, you don't. I'll jump in even here. To share my results, my list when I started this launch was 12,000. Okay. First of all, just in my own business, I crossed seven figures on a 5,000-person list. So you don't need a ton of people. You need the right people and the right price points to do those numbers. So I started out with 12,000 on my list. Today I have 22,000 on my list. And by all comparisons, that's not a big number for doing a $1.8 million launch. And the biggest numbers came from, God bless my peers and colleagues who mailed for me. Thank you all very much. The biggest referrals and my top affiliates were actually from my own clients, typically people who had, on average, 1,000 or less people on their list. When people are sharing from their heart, and these were people who had signed up for the Academy themselves, and they were excited to be in it, they shared it with their friends and clients, that's where my biggest numbers actually came from in terms of affiliate partnering. And so, anyways, back to the big mistake we made was we gave everyone their affiliate links, of course, and we happened to use Infusionsoft. That's the company that we use. And I have the Divine Living Radio Show Facebook group, which most of these people were members or a part of. And so what happened was people were posting their affiliate links in the Divine Living Radio Show group, and they were posting on my wall, like tagging me and that sort of thing, which I didn't think anything of it at first until, let's just say, Alice was, let's say, in some special group and was telling her friend about the Academy. And so her friend genuinely heard about the Academy through Alice. And then Kate went and posted in the Divine Living Facebook group about the Academy. So now Alice is in the Divine Living Facebook group. Alice and her friend are in the Divine Living Facebook group, and the friend sees Kate's post, and she's like, oh, that's that program I was meaning to join, goes and clicks on Kate's post, signs up, and Kate then is listed as the referring partner. And so, as you can imagine, when you get to doing a launch of numbers at this point, you can't have so-and-so saying, well, I talked to, let's say the friend's name was Beth. I talked to Beth, and Alice is saying, and so that's my lead. And then Kate's like, well, I did the work of putting up the Facebook post, and that's what she clicked on. And so it can get, I mean, we've beautifully smoothed everything over, but just in terms of whose referral is whose, let me share with you a little bit of what industry standard is and then what we as a team made a decision on as well. And so for this reason, there is an industry standard that says last cookie wins. And that means whoever the last link is that someone clicks on and purchases, in terms of affiliate link, that's who gets the credit for the affiliate program and referral. And there's pros and cons to doing first cookie or last cookie. The pro that we found in terms of last cookie is it entices people to keep mailing and to keep posting until the very end. And so that's pretty much industry standard anyways. Personally, for our team, we did a live training, like mid-launch. So it was totally transparent. It was like, hey, everyone. I basically learned that with everybody posting their links in the Divine Living Facebook group and on my wall, friends and friends of friends, and everyone's being confused on what link to click on, and it's not true and accurate. So we made a couple of rules, and one of them we got really clear, last cookie wins. Number two, your affiliate link is to be used for your own networks outside of mine. So no more posting on my wall and no more posting in my groups. Go and use those links elsewhere. And then three, if you're going to get your affiliate commission, they have to click on your link. So if you meet someone and you're talking to someone, you spend an hour talking to them about it, and they click on someone's link, like, we can't be chasing here, there, and researching and up and down and all around when it's dealing with, you know, thousands and thousands of names here. So those were the rules that we created. We did a kind of mid-launch free training call to our affiliates so that they would know what we've discovered. We didn't know that beforehand, and that was a really important piece that we discovered along the way. And so then everyone got it. Everyone was happy, and life moved on. So in sort of almost wrapping up here, I'm going to take questions in just a little bit. This mindset that I maintained throughout was really, really important. I, quite frankly, and again, transparently, I didn't really, Gina in and of herself a year ago right now did not get that I had the list size or the power to be pulling 200 people at a $7,500 full pay and a $10,000 payment plan pay. And yet I knew that that was the message that was given to me, so I had to really stay in that vibration and keep visualizing it. And when doubt or fear would creep in, like, you know, Gina within herself had a fear like, oh, my goodness, what if I go and launch this, relatively speaking, very expensive program with live events around the world, and what if we don't, you know, what if we only get 50 people in? And that's my old stuff, and that's my old lack thinking. And so when that creeped in, I really went back to my mantra. I see myself serving 200 women. I see 200 women growing their businesses and becoming transformational coaches in this process. And I would say it over and over, and I would really see it and feel it. The next is for me, too, I don't have some, like, huge, huge list where 200 people are going to, like, sell out in 2 days or 2 weeks. And so, like, even getting to, the first 50 was not, like, oh, let's do the, you know, release the first video and see 50 people sign up. It was like, okay, it was like, we already got our first 50, and there was a significant amount of effort that was put into that. And it was kind of hard for me to be like, all right, ladies, sign up. Only 150 spaces left. Like a little bit of holy moly, how is this going to work? So, by the way, real quickly, I want to announce, too, in the 7 videos, the first 6 don't even mention anything about the coaching certification program. They were all completely content videos. The 7th video was a sales page video, and that went through the program, and that went through the price points and what it's for, and that made the offer. And so, anyways, maintaining this mindset all the way through was really, really important to me. And then once we were at, let's say, like 150, I could feel myself like, ah, this is awesome. Like true abundance. Women from around the world were signing up because the global piece was really part of my intention and very important to me. We have 150 people. You know, you can do the math. Like financially, like obviously live events, and then some are going to be covered. Like we're good there. Like this is a lot. This is great. And so when I went to go take my foot off the gas a bit, I felt that voice inside me. There's 200 women for you to serve this year. And so I was like, okay. And I'm like, I am not stopping until 200. So like once 150 to like, I don't know, 175, those filled up relatively fast. But then it was like 175, 180, 183, 190. And so it was like this. I felt myself like, I'm not closing the cart. And people kept asking, when does the cart close? When do we, you know, stop it? I said, we stop when there are 200 people in, and that's when we stopped. So I really stayed in high vibration. I really saw and felt and prayed and really didn't stop until we really stayed in the 200. And so it was a little bit of a marathon launch, but it felt good, and I know me and my team were all just so proud of ourselves. There was so much grace in the process. And outside of the video series that we launched, that we, I did a handful, maybe 3 or 4 live calls throughout the time. Again, that high touch aspect, I like my women like it. We get on the calls, I spoke, I'd take questions. And we saw sign-ups from that as well. And so that was basically how my 7-figure launch worked. And, it started with this 12,000-person list. It didn't I didn't have, one major affiliate partner who sent me 5,000 new names and had, 50 sign-ups or something. This really was the little intention that could. And so here we are today. So we have a couple of gifts for you because we are so grateful to you having made all those Facebook posts or sent those solo mailers out or told your friends about it. And if you go to ginadevee.com/academypartners, you can go to ginadevee.com/academypartners. And we have a sample spreadsheet. And we also have a sample marketing flow chart for you. And so my rockin' team has put together a spreadsheet that was used to really organize. You'll see it's just gorgeous. The affiliates, when they were spoken to, what their sales were, what their earnings were, you'll see it's a really gorgeous spreadsheet to help you stay organized there. And then the flow chart is something that I think will help you get organized as well. And so that is sort of our 7-figure launch. Again, secrets, they're not secrets. They're pretty transparent. I am totally glad to take any questions that you have for yourself personally or for clients that you may have that are wondering about, yeah, but what if and this and that. So if you have any questions, you can press star 2 if you are listening via the phone line. And if you're listening via the webcast, I am happy to jump in the Q&A box as well and read your questions there. So let's take the first caller. If your phone number starts with 310 and ends with 7114, I'll unmute your line. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi, it's Maria Andros.
Oh, Maria.
Gina, I'm honored to be your first one.
Oh, my goodness. How are you, my love? I want everyone to know Maria was one of our very, very dear partners and supporters. And I'm just so grateful to you, Maria. And, you know, as you know from doing your own launches and events, it's like literally that support means so much. So thank you for your participation.
Oh, well, I'm thrilled to be here, and I am just cheering. I have just been flabbergasted by what you've just done. I'm so proud of you. You have grown so much, and it's amazing, and I'm sure everyone feels that on the call. So just couldn't miss this call. I cleared my schedule, and I'm just, you know, grateful for you and, you know, what you represent, your friendship, partnership, everything. So congratulations. This is such a big win for you. Wow.
Thank you.
I love it. How are you feeling? Good?
Totally. Very, very grateful, and also like it feels very natural too. You know, for any of us that are meant to be doing these numbers, having this level of impact in the world, I will say, you know, part of me was squeamish about, I couldn't believe it when I, as much as I talk about you know, whatever, making money and sharing my life, when it came time to, like, I felt to share the 1.8 million, I was like, I don't need to say the numbers. But we got so many emails from people saying, thank you for sharing the specifics and the numbers because it showed me what's possible for me too. So it feels great.
Well, Gina, this is like, honestly, I've known you for how many years now? This is your most beautiful, your most vulnerable. You were so transparent in those videos. And, you know, I do video. You were so transparent, so clear. And the fact that you were also willing to do this call and kind of share your behind the scenes is like leading the pack. You're innovative in this launch, but I think it also shows your generosity and why you have this, you've had this wealth expansion, which is what you teach. It's like you have been so generous, and it just shows. It's totally leading the way. So I'm very, very honored to, you know, be alongside of you here.
Thank you. And she's not being paid for this, folks. This is really a true surprise.
No.
I was going to be on the call. Do you have any questions?
Yeah.
For yourself or what somebody else might be wondering, because I know you're really great at leading the way yourself.
Yeah.
So what's your question?
Yeah. No, I was curious to see, you know, if you did any kind of any strategy sessions or any phone calling for this campaign, for this launch. Was it strictly through the sales page, or did you have to have your team or yourself get on the phone to close any of the new clients?
Great question. Yes and no.
Okay.
Well, and I'll share with you what worked and what didn't work. And so
Perfect.
I have actually – you know, I start with prayer, and in a way in the past in which I have been very much leaning forward, especially in my early years about, it started from like, what if like the money doesn't come in or the client doesn't come in, like I need to work harder on this than other people or convince or persuade and that sort of energy. Over the years, I have leaned back more and more. And again, and things that have worked in the past, I am not afraid to dial for dollars, and I have phone banked throughout the years, in more of the early years. And I haven't done it in the past couple of years. And I thought, well, you know, to really maximize a launch and to be smart about that, we need to be calling people in addition to the stuff that's coming in. And for us, the calling didn't work. We only did very little of it. I think I had taught a recent Live and Luxurious class, which is about creating high-end packages. And so it felt like they were all basically coaches who were looking to create high-end packages. And so I had our program director. I gave her that list, and I said, why don't you reach out to the people who recently took this class, and would they like to go further with the coaching certification program? And it was not we did not get a bunch of yeses from that. And so no in the traditional sense, if you will. What we did do were a couple of things. One is in the launch, and I'm really so grateful that you're asking this because this is an element that I had actually forgotten about and didn't include in what I just shared, is there were a few times later on in the launch where part of our mailings were if you we would do two categories. We said if you totally know that Gina's the coach for you and you want to be in the academy and the academy is right for you, but you're just looking to figure out how you can manifest the funds to get in, sign up for a free 15-minute consultation. And Gina, I took some of those calls. And then if you're not sure if Gina's the right coach for you, if the academy is the right coach for you, but money's not the issue, it's just you're genuinely wondering about is this the right fit of a program for you, then sign up for these 15-minute consultation calls. And I would say in general, I actually left 30 minutes to be completely transparent, and a lot of people needed the 30-minute time. And yeah. So I did a handful of those. So we blocked off some chunks of time in my calendar. And I think altogether, I did it three times. So I had three chunks where I did, and that made a difference. So I wasn't like reaching out, like I wasn't dipping in and calling people, but it was who wants to be called basically. So that worked really well. And then towards the end, because there was, as we know, but it's like it always surprises me still, it's like towards the end there was a huge flurry of trying to manifest money and just not wondering if it was right for them. And so then we opened up more slots for my program director to take those calls. And so she handled the sort of the tail end ones right before the cart closed. So I didn't have the time that I actually enjoyed doing them. So, but I didn't have the time then. So she did them. She did it really well and helped people sort out either how to make some money or free up some money and, what was, and or if the program was right for them. Now, one other really, really amazingly interesting thing about that I found when I was doing the quote-unquote manifesting calls for the people who didn't have the money and needed to manifest the money, Maria, I couldn't believe this because if you don't mind, I mean, I know you and I know each other and this is not our path. Like, if we didn't have the money, we didn't have the money. Like, it was like there wasn't – it wasn't like I didn't want to dip into my savings account. It's not like I didn't want to, like, touch my Amex or dip into my 401k. Like, I did not have the money when I said I didn't have the money. And literally 9 out of 10 of these women who called in saying they didn't have the money but they really want to join the academy and how could I help them manifest the money, had it. And so one of the biggest pieces we found was about permission and women giving themselves permission. Like there was one woman, and I could go on and on, like there was one woman, she had a year of savings that she could live on. And she felt like she didn't have the money. Another person had a corporate job, and she told me how much she was making. And I said, well, if you do the payment plan, would you have enough money left over to pay off your regular bills and join the account? Well, yes. Another woman had a 401k. And that, like, it was left, right, and center. Like, I know what it is to have to go and, like, sell something, a package or otherwise, to bring in the money. So it was very interesting to me, the psychology of women who thought they had to go and manifest the funds before they could sign up when they actually already had the funds. So that was something, and that's why I like doing the calls. I always learn so much by keeping a real close pulse with my people. And so that's the extent that we did calls.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I love how high touch you are also with your community. So, again, I'm just celebrating you and just honored to be here, and you just did knocked out of the park. Truly amazing. The videos blew me away, and they were so elegant, and you just sold the outcome and the lifestyle. It was just, you totally just innovated. I love what you did. Proud of you, sister.
Thank you. Thank you, my dear. An awesome, awesome question. I know that was really going to serve a lot of people. So anything else for today?
That's everything. Thank you.
Cool. I'll go ahead and mute your line. Who else has a question? You can press *2 to raise your hand and ask a question if you are listening via the phone line. And if you are listening via the webcast, you can go ahead and type in your question as well. So before we wrap up here today, I can see any other questions. You can press There we go. This, I believe, is an international caller. So if your phone number allegedly looks like it ends with 0093, what's your name and what's your question? Hello? I just unmuted your line.
Oh, hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hello? Oh, it's yep. Gianni. I was sorry, I muted myself.
Gianni, hi, darling. Calling in from Australia. What's this? Well, I do believe Jeannie was our top affiliate. Is that true, Jeannie?
Yeah. Yes, that is. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you, my love. And just so everyone knows, Jeannie is a 21-year-old college student in Perth, Australia. And let's just say her list isn't five figures. How many?
No. It's a thousand and a bit.
A thousand.
Yeah.
Yep, a thousand and a bit. Well, that bit counts. And Jeannie did a lot of Facebooking, and she just supported us so much with her spirit and her love and her attention, and obviously it worked. She made a whole bunch of referrals, and one of our prizes, actually, I forgot to talk about the prizes, again, looking to see what my people would really love and enjoy, is a photo shoot with my Divine Living photographer, Wendy Yellum. And so Jeannie and a number of other women won the photo shoot as well. So awesome to have you here, Jeannie. What's your question, darling?
My question is about the mindset piece, because mm-hmm. I was just really inspired seeing you, you know, keep the momentum going and not back down or give up when, you know, you were almost at the goal.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if you could expand more on that, on how you, you know, kept your focus and kept going and, you know, eventually reach your goal of 200 women.
Mm-hmm. Well, throughout the time, it was twofold. It was, you know, I have certainly have my own desires in terms of pushing my own personal edge and income, a certain level of income coming in a certain way. So that was the initial one. In terms of the other part of it that was just as strong, if not stronger, was the piece about sharing with women globally what I have been so blessed to learn and master to the degree that I have. And I've had the most amazing coaches coach me and that have helped me become a transformational coach and certainly great business mentors as well. And seeing how I was this broken girl just a few years ago in terms of being codependent and broken financially and not having a business or self-esteem, wealth consciousness, any of that, and seeing how this beautiful body of work and this industry has now has me living the life beyond of my dreams, actually. It was a deep desire and sort of responsibility, not in an obligatory way, to share with others what I've learned. And so the piece that came up at the end was about, you know, like what had me really, really stay in it. I really feel like God had planted the seeds in my heart that, you know, I've been praying for so long that 200 women would show up, and I really got into the spirit and the connection of impacting 200 women's lives, and that there were 200 women that needed to have this information, that needed to be a part of this community, that needed to be around me and the other women in it, that it was my responsibility to keep holding my torch and shining the light until the right 200 women saw it and signed up. And that led to not just the numbers, but also the magnitude of 27 countries. You know, I didn't consciously call in people from Malta and Cyprus and India and Africa and Abu Dhabi and Dubai and all throughout Europe and the U.S. and Canada and Australia and Hong Kong and Singapore and the Philippines. So like the global aspect and me feeling the universe used me to contribute to the empowerment of women worldwide was very much a driving force. And it sort of felt like, you know, if I stop 10 people shy or even 3 people shy, that's 3 people's lives who could be changed as a result of being in this community and in this curriculum and in this body of work. So part of it initially was around the financial piece and the excitement piece for me in that department. But more of it, and as it went on, was about having the, having the great honor of being able to give what's been given to me. And so for that reason, I did not stop as well.
Okay, great. So you focused on the service at the end, which kept you going.
The service aspect, the service and the vision of it, that's what really kept it, you know, past that 150 mark. It was like, you know, like I said, I, you know, for my own stuff could have, you know, lightened up on the gas pedal, but really seeing it through to completion and knowing that it wasn't just another 50 people, that those people are actual people, you know, and so... Yeah. Really, there's a line in Women Who Run with the Wolves that says you have to howl so that your pack knows where you are. And so I just kept howling so the pack would know where was home for them. And they found it.
Beautiful. Thank you.
You're so welcome. I will go ahead and mute your line. And who's next? Any other comments or questions? You can press *2 if you're listening via the phone line. And you can also type in your question in the Q&A section in the webcast as well. Julie in Newport writes, and congratulations, Gina, on your wonderful launch of the program. My question is regarding what to do when people aren't signing up for your programs. What do you recommend? Oh, Julie. I know it, and my heart is with you. Without knowing more of your circumstances, I just don't know where you're at with things. So in terms of my programs, I'll share a behind-the-scenes ego piece here. I'm sure it's fairly relatable, right? We just put everything into this stuff, and we – not necessarily from an ego perspective, but we, like, really get the power of what we're putting out in the world. Like, wow, this is really, really good. So, like, we go and, like, we put it out there, and on day one, and, like, I don't know about you, but it's like, you know, 5,000 people don't sign up for my stuff on the first day that I put it out because I'm not excited about it. Like, I go into everything, oh, people don't like me, or, oh, I'm like, it's not going to sell, or maybe I should take it down. Like, what's wrong with me? It, like, go into a whole thing about it. So for me, I have learned to keep the excitement for longer than day one and learn the amount of repetition that people need to actually get the message, and even more so than in the earlier days when I did have a fear that people wouldn't sign up for the programs or whatever. I mean, even back then, but especially now, there is so much competition for attention. And I'm not talking about competition in the marketplace. I'm just talking about there are a ton of lifestyle blogs that I subscribe to. Not a ton. I've actually narrowed it down to the things, but there's still a nice number. And when I get busy, it's just delete, 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 delete. It's like, it's not that I don't like that stuff. It's just I don't have time that day. And so for us to understand that as great as our stuff is, like, people are busy in between Twitter and Facebook and television and binging and pinging and voicemails and up and down and all around, it's the repetition on the same subject is so needed. So anytime someone changes the brand slightly, changes their program up, changes their tagline, like, it's almost like starting all over again in terms of getting the credibility and the notoriety and the reason why people need to get their credit cards out for what it is you have to offer. And so that's one piece that I would say is, I don't know if they're just not signing up or if they're not signing up as quickly as you would like, because that's what certainly happened to me. In terms of not signing up for my programs at all, I only had, in all of the offerings that I've ever made, I have had one program where no one signed up, I had, this is the way earlier, I had one program, one person signed up, and I had one person where five people, or I had one program where five people signed up. And the first time when no one signed up, I was pushing something and I was doing something that was in my heart, but it was before me and my level of power and my ability to move people could take place. And so it's like a program, if I launched it today, it would be fine, but doing it 7 years ago, it was just, I did it too soon for my business development. The second program where I had only one person sign up, it was actually a piece on femininity, which really surprised me because of all the people that come to me for the queen work and the feminine, and they want to be more feminine and all this. So I put out a program that was largely about, it had business stuff, but it incorporated the feminine, and people weren't buying it. And it really showed me, at least for me and for what I offer, that women weren't getting their credit cards out for being more feminine. They were getting their credit cards out for making money and building a business. So as much as they talked about wanting the feminine, they really bought the masculine, which I understand because the masculine then helps them be more feminine. So I have found that today, in terms of money-making endeavors, that I lead with the business pieces, and then I bring my queen and my divine living pieces in, but I don't lead with those. And then, what was the third one? I forgot already. Wait, the first one. Oh, and then the one that I had only five people sign up for it was, I had no business doing that program. I've talked about this publicly, actually. I taught one sales program, which was fine, and there were 125 people in it. And I thought that I was being a savvy businesswoman to offer, like, the next level of it. But it wasn't divinely inspired. And so I just sort of did it because I knew it would be of service and it would make money, but it, you know, kind of had that energy to it. And so the universe very clearly showed me that's not how I'm meant to be used in the world. So those were the only times. The rest of it, I just had to course correct along the way and make it a success. I've done live events, teleclasses, small retreats, one-on-one coaching programs, and, you know, I had to just keep course correcting to see, to make it a success and so that the signups would be there. And so I got creative along the way and resourceful along the way. And so for most of it, that's really what worked. So in terms of what I recommend for if you're not getting the signups for a program, really go and check in and see what it's about. You'll know what the answer is. Are you doing something too soon? Are you doing something that the market doesn't really purchase? Or are you doing something that's not really meant for you? All righty, back to the phone lines. If you have a question and want to ask that and you're on the phone, press star 2 to raise your hand, and you can either make a comment or ask a question. Before we close up today, let's see. If your phone number begins with 310 and ends in 0661, what's your name and what's your question?
Hello, Gina. This is Rano for Sierra.
Rano, darling. Oh, my goodness. All the goodies are coming out today. Hi, sweetheart. What's your question?
Well, I wasn't sure what my question was, and I was just compelled because I've just watched you all the way back from sitting on Tracy Trottenberg's couch for her birthday to to here now, and it's just spectacular, and it really is inspiring. And it's been a challenging year for us in our business, and it dipped kind of where you were talking. So I'm like, oh, good, that means ours is going to boom as well next. I just really wanted to acknowledge you and let you know that the work that you're doing is spectacular, and it's inspiring, and thank you. And,
thank you, Rano. Thank you. If I could maybe share, one of the biggest mistakes that I made during, I don't exactly call it the year of the drought, but kind of, Let's press pause. I did everything from tighten up and constrict to freak out to go numb, to geographical cure, to avoidance. And I almost let it mess with what I know to be true about, not God, it didn't go there, but about consciousness and universal law. And I was like, wait a minute. What, I'm doing all this stuff. I'm praying and visualizing and reading the wealth code. Like, it's not happening. And so all of those things are true. But what I learned is that there's seasons in life and in business. And, you know, we're in such a, like, you know, we're in such an industry that, you know, if you're not coming out with a New York Times best-selling book or multiple seven-figure launch or sold out this and that, or your list is in 100, like, there's so many opportunities to compare, and we know that that is the thief of a good life, to compare, to judge, to, you know, rate ourselves against someone else or someone else. And not that I'm, like, a big believer and you got to go public with everything and be transparent about everything while you're going through it. I really wish that I, looking back, what I would do differently today is that I would reach out to more of my friends and colleagues. Not that I tried to, like, make it look like everything was fine and or ever lied and said something was happening that wasn't. But I just didn't, I kind of went more invisible on the subject. And it, when I came out of it was when I felt safer to start talking about it more. And then that's when so many other, oh, like, oh, yeah, yeah, either that's going on for me right now or that totally happened for me and this is what I did. And so I think for us as entrepreneurs to get that there are, fine, there's universal truths and laws about success and manifesting money, and all of that is true, and there are different seasons in people's lives. And when I look back now, if I would have let that be even more of a year of rest, let it be what it was, which was just, I mean, it's not like, you know, Glenn and I were homeless during the time. I just wasn't, the numbers had actually decreased, and I was used to this, all these regular increases. But they decreased it, but we still were living a very fine life, but I wasn't as at peace as I could have been. And then seeing literally what the very next year was about was doing a multiple seven-figure launch. And so if I can just kind of give you a virtual hug and encouragement, I know the work that you and Sierra are doing is so needed and so powerful and so brilliant in the world. And for whatever this season is meant to be for you, at minimum, at least enjoy the downtime of relaxing, because I don't think you two are going to be let off the hook too much longer.
Fair enough. And that sparked an actual question for you.
Cool.
So I've been in this whole wealth consciousness mindset and everything, you know, I guess as long as you have. And you know the teachings of David and everything else. So how important is that for you in all of this? Like really keeping that as a part of what you do?
On a scale of 1 to 10, about a 17.
Okay.
For me, wealth consciousness is really about, it's about infinite possibility, unlimited abundance, and tapping into the mystical and the miraculous realms, which for me I sum up as my relationship with God. And so one of the pieces that I found, especially growing up as a Christian and in the church, and you're not supposed to focus on money or even want too much of it and all that, I actually found that for me, the thing that was supposedly going to take me off track or get me off track with the relationship with God actually brought me closer to it. So for me, when I read the wealth consciousness works and the mystical works and all of that stuff, it taps me into the divine, and it taps me into the unlimited. And so whether it is to manifest money or impact or an opportunity for even to have the ability to shift my emotions in any given moment, that's how I use that work, and that's how important that work is to me. Having said that, I think there's a lot of ways to live and to be successful, and what works for me doesn't necessarily work for anyone else. So I certainly wouldn't put a cookie cutter approach on anyone. And I still have Think and Grow Rich and The Science of Getting Rich in hard copy, underlined and highlighted in a bazillion different colors, and on my iPhone and iPad. So that stuff is with me wherever I go, and I'm always picking it up even to this day.
Okay. All right. That's
helpful. So, yeah. More so, I found something that works for me. I think that's the biggest thing that I would want to say on those. And if it works at that level for you as well, if this season is about that for you, great, pick them back up. And if the season is, I would just really explore what is the season about for you. And it may or may not be those books this year. And that's your adventure to discover.
Yeah, I've been enjoying like Wayne Dyer right now and Mike Dooley a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mike Dooley is Glenn's favorite. That's like... Glenn is all.
Yeah, actually, Glenn suggested it. That's why we started.
Yeah, that's Glenn's, you know. Glenn thinks that Think and Grow Rich is like, he doesn't like the old language in it or whatever. Like, I don't mind. I guess when you read the Old Testament as much as I have, it doesn't faze you. It's sort of modern. But yeah, Glenn's all about Mike Dooley.
Thou shalt read Mike Dooley, I think Glenn said.
So. Cool. Well,
awesome.
Blessings,
well, thank you.
You and Sierra, stay in touch. You know, you guys have my private email, so email me anytime.
Okay, thank you.
Let me mute your line for your privacy. And let's see. I think I saw, I just saw someone, but I hope I didn't just unmute you. Let's see. Well, I think I might have just done a little technical thing here. So if you had your hand raised or would like to raise your hand and ask a question, please press star 2. We've got a little bit more time here. I'm glad to take a couple more questions. If people still have questions, I want to make a comment. And if not, we can wrap. Let me jump on over to the Q&A. So phone people, do your thing. Julie writes back in, no question. Oh, just to thank you for the last question I asked. I got it this time. Having been changing too much and not on track as clearly as I could have been. Thank you for being so clear. You are so welcome, Julie. And all right, have we completed all of our questions today? I'll give it one last call. Press star 2 if you have one last question for today. All right, everyone, well, let's just close with a prayer. Dear God, we're so grateful for this time today and for this gathering of very conscious business owners and special souls. And again, I just pray a prayer of prosperity for each and every person to be guided by you, to be shining their light, to be given manifesting powers, to bring forth whatever each person here is meant to bring forth in the world. Let us not be afraid of shining too brightly, for getting too big or too expansive or desiring too much. And we know that so much of the time our problem is not that we ask for too much, but for too little. So in this moment, we ask for exactly what the next steps are, the next resources, the next level of support that each of us need in our lives so that we can do what we came here to do, be who we came here to be. And we pray this believing. Amen. Godspeed and God bless, everyone. Lots of love to you on your future launches. Keep us posted. And again, for all of you who were so supportive with your love and your time and attention and promotion during our launch, on behalf of me and my team, we are so very grateful, and we look forward to connecting in the future again. Bye-bye, everyone.